What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful.com. It is December 8th, 2021. This is your AEW Dynamite review. We got a lot of stuff this week. Interview with Jonah, interview with Deonna Purrazzo. Finally dropping an interview with Jimmy Hart. I did like in August or something, but didn't have a place to fit it. It's going to fit this weekend, by God. Speaking of this weekend, ROH Final Battle. We got a big UFC show. Those are going to be going head-to-head. We're going to have coverage of both of them. Because ROH Final Battle might be the last ROH show ever. Speaking of, got some ROH news over on FightfulSelect.com. Got some Candice LeRae contract news over on FightfulSelect.com. I'm going to drop some interviews exclusively on Select in the near future. Oh my gosh, we got so many things to talk to you guys about. And another one of those selling points of Fightful Select is this person down here, Alex Palowski, who did a... I guess you could say a competing stream, a complimentary stream
right.
to the Fightful Select service for NXT TakeOver, because you and Kate do review the show on Tuesdays. So it's fitting that you all did a review on Select. It did some, it encouraged some subscribers. So I said, you know what? You all want to do those whenever you want. Have at it. It's Alex Palowski. What's up?
I'm doing good. That was a lot of fun. It was kind of a spur of the moment thing. We kind of built a very weirdly loyal fan base on Tuesdays that just loves our shtick and doesn't watch NXT 2.0. Yeah. But hey, why not? They come and they send us the old humper chats. So we're never going to say no to that. But that was a lot of fun doing that. And we have a lot of fun on Tuesday nights. And we also have a lot of fun here on Wednesday nights because the wrestling is some good stuff.
Robert DeFelice is also here. He's been very helpful this week. We want to wish our buddy Gisberto Guzzo get well soon. He's in and out of the office a lot lately. Robert, you've helped out an awful lot this week as well. I want to thank you for that. But here we are talking AEW Dynamite, as the Twitter hashtag often says.
Yeah. I have a lot of fun on Wednesday nights. I don't watch on Tuesday. I was very confused on Sunday for a lot of things, Sean, but we got through it, and now we're here.
That we are. Guys, please leave us a thumbs up. It means an awful lot to us. It helps people find us. We had the list and your boy today as well. Check that out. We had the list goes on Fightful Select, an extra like half hour of list and your boy today. It was a good time. So check that stuff out. And of course, check out our buddies at The Distraction. Jeremy does some incredible work. But if you want your question or statement read on the air here at youtube.com/Fightful, donate a super chat on YouTube. It's that dollar sign down at the bottom. But listen, if you really want us to love you, donate those humper chats. Oh, that's right. Those humper chats. We got a nice logo with a camel on it and everything that I might throw up later. Humperchats.com is where you go to do that, or Humper Chat, doesn't really matter. But if you have PayPal, plugs right in, you're good to go. Our great moderator, Luis, will help keep those together, as he did for Sarah, who says, AEW wrestling is amazing. It's my favorite, and you're amazing. Well, you know what? We think you're amazing, Sarah. How about that? How about that one? Try that one on for size. And Anakin says, love AEW. Got me to stop playing Halo Infinite campaign to watch it. Wouldn't do that on Monday nights. Well, apparently Halo Infinite's so good it got Xavier Woods to break his 2-month strike of up, down, down. So that should tell you just how good is AEW. It must be pretty good. And Jambeard says, big fan of Kalex because of the sarcasm. Also, I don't like to go outside, but I've heard it's great outside.
It's good to take a walk every now and then, get your blood pumping. It's very cold here in Wisconsin, but I found the time to go down to the end of the block just to get a little quick heart pumping.
God damn it. Well, let's talk about this phenomenal open to AEW Dynamite. MJF's music hits. Now, for those of you who don't follow the show or anything like that, this is Long Island. Long Island is comprised of trash people within storyline in AEW. Like, I love that it's a heel town. Like, Tony Schiavone reminded you all night, these are pieces of shit. They got signs for MJF. They're cheering him. They're terrible people. It's like Long Island is the factory where every MJF came from. They're on an assembly line. Their number one export is MJF, and people like MJF. That's what they got. I like that. But for all the months, all the times people said, MJF has to come out to CM Punk's music. Oh, it was amazing and poetic, Alex, that CM Punk came out to MJF's music, because not a one time in my life did that cross my mind. And MJF gets this great pop, and it's like, what? How could they get him booed? How could they possibly get CM Punk booed? God damn it, they did it, Alex.
Yeah, this episode felt like Bizarro World for part of it. Like especially later, we'll talk about this, MJF playing up to the crowd and getting cheered in his hometown. It was like he had superpowers. But this was really, what I felt like happened here was CM Punk came out, got the boos and everything, and then he liked it. He was remembering what it was like to heel on a crowd, because he hasn't done that in 7 years. And that's a lot of fun for these guys when they get to come out and heel on a crowd. And that's he got to scratch that little itch he's been having for the better part of a decade. And I think he came out with a planned thing he was going to say. And then he said, screw it, I'm going to do some crowd work. And he just started going off on tangents and making them boo him even more.
I thought he leaned too much into the Islanders.
He leaned too much into the Islanders, and whatever would get him booed more. Yeah. That was the whole point. I think there was a decent through line for this promo. It just kind of lost the plot because Punk was having so much fun getting people to boo him.
Yeah, this was never in my life did I think, CM Punk is going to get booed in New York, a city that would love him and does love him. And you've got MJF, who's actually being treated like a hometown hero. All week he was saying, I'm going to get cheered. He said, I'm going to make love to the UBS Arena. It's going to be my bitch. That is what he said in an interview. And apparently he's not half bad, because UBS Arena came unglued for MJF, but they got CM Punk. And Punk is an asshole. And we know that, and he played it to the hilt. But I have to say, talk about leaning in. I never imagined that CM Punk and MJF would be mostly feuding around Britt Baker, which is the weirdest thing they have going on.
I mean, I can say, CM Punk's line of like, wait, just because I'm nice to a female means that I'm trying to bang her. And he's like, this incel, this is your guy. I need somebody to clip that. That way I can turn it into a meme, please, for any number of reasons. But Jay Blood says, I also thought Punk went with the Islanders so much because he didn't want to go too Knives Out, still being a babyface and such. No, to me, when you're in Long Island, to hell with it. Because you know what? The next week, the next town doesn't give a shit. Why do they give a shit what you said about Long Island? They're not from there. They don't care. That's why I always hated the idea of WWE burying the hometown guy. It's like the next week, nobody's going to care that he got beat up in his hometown. But the next week, somebody might remember the amazing ovation that came from somebody in their hometown.
Yeah.
We've got Nerd Guru saying, I'm very happy Punk didn't do the Cody thing of still trying to be a face in a place that is booing him. He leaned into it. Masterful. Dare I say what Cody Rhodes is doing is masterful as well. Like, I think there are two different types of masterful manipulation of an audience. Mark G says the Islanders are legit trash. CM Punk is my hero.
Did you see Jeremy's headline about the promo, Sean? He says he makes fun of, correctly says that the Islanders suck.
That's why Jeremy is the best headline writer in the business. So and there is also, in all capital letters right now on the site, Hook will be sent on 1210 AEW Rampage. This guy, he just had a vacation. M.A. Jones says, I wanted more than anything for Punk to come out to MJF's music. I am satisfied. Oh, man. And Jambeard says, saw someone call Long Island the AEW Bizarro World. I was talking to people in AEW this past week, and I was like, what do you think will happen? How do you think this will go? And they thought that it would be Bizarro World, at least the two people specifically I talked to.
They're really good about being able to schedule far enough in advance that they can, like, we have something we want to do for this person, so we're going to do it here, so it matters more. They should run this arena, because it seemed very full, and the people were super loud and into it. They should run this arena, and often, like a couple of times a year, spread out, and do a big MJF moment every time. Because it feels like it's a completely different thing. And you can, if you plan for it and lean into it, like MJF did tonight, we're going to talk about it. I thought what he did throughout the whole Battle Royal was fantastic stuff. Like, it can be this thing that you can plan, like you should, if you say the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania is when they cheer people who they normally boo and they boo people who they normally cheer. Well, if you know that's what happens, quote unquote, then book some stuff around that to make it mean more. And I think what they did tonight with MJF worked so, so well.
Suplexer says, I'm an Islander fan trying to enjoy a wrestling show. What the hell? I don't deserve this. Buddy, if you're an Islander fan, you do deserve this. You have chosen this life. And that's coming from a Bengals fan and a Reds fan. Anakin says, you can never lean too much into the Islanders. Go Red Wings. And Snap Joe says, seeing Punk leaning into being a heel made me so happy. Robert, that's what I think one of the beauties of AEW is. Depending on the location, depending on the program, depending on the month, the week, the day, anybody can be a babyface or a heel. It's just got to be the right circumstance. Not everybody, I mean, most people usually have those types of weeks where they're better than others.
And he came back around and he said things like, he compared the Islanders winning a game to him beating QT Marshall, which is fantastic. He even said, I want to be champion, which is important because when you're wrestling, you should want to be champion or you shouldn't be wrestling. And now I'm actually excited to see where CM Punk goes next, because he's let me know that he has thought about this and he's going somewhere important next.
He says he wants to be next in line after Danielson. Like, I think that we're going to start seeing some interesting stuff, because all this stuff is fun when he does it to troll MJF. If he starts leaning into healing on Adam Page, it won't be fun anymore for the crowd, and then we'll have a different dynamic on our hands.
Well, if he heals on Brian, even, like,
right, sure.
If Brian happens to win and he heals on Brian, all you need is the line of, the only reason you headlined WrestleMania is because I walked away.
Yeah.
And there's your money.
Yeah.
Whew. Buddy. Jambeard says, as a wrestling fan and hockey fan, I greatly enjoyed that Punk trashed the Islanders. And as a hockey fan himself, he knew what he was talking about. Felt nice and real. It did. Like, Punk doesn't usually talk out of his depth. That's a good promo key. Like, if you don't know what you're talking about, don't talk about it.
Yeah.
Just don't risk it. Don't risk it. ShotKid29 says, as a non-Long Island New Yorker, all Punk did was tell some hard truths to the crowd, and there's no such thing as burying Islanders too much. Listen, if it gets us more chats, yeah, if it gets more people to go www.humperchats.com, I'll cut like 16 lines about the Islanders. Why not? Why not? Well, CM Punk did not get appeased by MJF coming out, because MJF, the true heel that he is, he said, no, buddy, we're not wasting my big entrance, because my big entrance is a badass video.
Oh, it was so good.
Produced by Giancarlo, the most Married with Children, Al Bundy bullshit, amazing thing I've ever seen. Him pulling up in a Ferrari, pulling his high school letterman's jacket out, throwing in references like all this stuff he did in choir and
acapella. He was the leader of the acapella group known as the Acafellas.
Yeah.
It's just great. I don't know if that's true or not.
It is true. It is true, by the way.
Wonderful, even better.
He was a great singer. I love that they threw in that he made varsity as a wrestler and never got taken down. That was a personal thing for MJF.
And still holds the record for the most tackles on his football team.
He's a good football player.
The best thing is, not only is he a shitbag, but he really can back it up.
Yes.
And everything he said was true.
And I loved the line about him never being taken down, because that is an honest to God thing backstage in AEW right now. People walk up to him and try to take him down with a double leg. He calls himself the Sprawl God, as Bryan Danielson has said, which leads me to believe Bryan Danielson has absolutely attempted to take him down, and he hasn't done it, and he is passive-aggressively mentioning this in interviews now. And also, I see that, like, Taz was like, keep your head on a swivel, and I'm like, is he getting in on this too? Or is he sending Team Taz after him backstage?
I think send Hook. I think that's the answer to everything.
Send Hook. This was great work by Giancarlo, who also did a lot of the footage from the Liv Morgan video that we saw this week. WWE cut that guy. Let me tell you, there was no redundancy there. There was no reason to cut that guy. He's doing incredible work. And then MJF came out, and he did like a mix of like a Jericho entrance, a Punk entrance, and he had a genuine smile on his face, Robert. Not one rooted in evil or being diabolical. He was happy.
Yeah, it's one thing to make fun of CM Punk's crying entrance in Chicago and then do the Chris Jericho 96 babyface lean on the crowd, but he's actually getting to be embraced by his hometown, which has to feel good. And then he was the star in a 12-man match, which goes on to show how important he is to the brand.
Yeah. Alex?
I love the entrance. I thought it was everything that he did throughout this, and especially at the end of the Battle Royal. Like, it was just him pretending to be a babyface, and because the crowd loved him. So what I hate usually is when a heel is supposed to be booed, but they're getting like good things from the crowd, and they go, "No, I actually want you to boo me." An egotistical heel would soak it in, like, "Yes, I do deserve all your adulation. For once, you people are right." Like, that could be and he was doing all of that, and I thought it really, really worked.
Well, then we got the Battle Royal itself, but we have some reaction to the Punk thing. Snap Joe says, agree with Alex. If Punk does that with Paige, hands are being thrown. And Brian the Dean says, Islanders are trash. Let's go Blues. Oh, man. Josh Cardenas says, whoever did the voiceover for the promo did the video perfect. It was a great voiceover job. A fantastic voiceover job done there. Mark G says they should get the arena to be exclusive to AEW. Works out perfectly for MJF, like Alex said. It really does, but I mean, I don't know how many venues are in Long Island. I'm not that familiar with the area. Even if it's not, they'll find somewhere near there where they can make it their own. They're very good at that. Stuplexer says, it's on Long Island, on, not in. How can you be in an island? Go MJF, go. Felt like based on that reaction, CM Punk was in the island an awful lot. Mark G says, before I forget, those red pulsing lights, I can't remember which match, is signaling the arrival of Red Dragon. So those did happen towards the end of the Battle Royal. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that was signaling something or just an accident. I'm hoping it was signaling something. But let's talk about this. Balear Lasagna says the MJF video should win the Oscar, or maybe an Emmy. But, I mean, those aren't that hard to get. John Alba has one. That's but true. The Dynamite Dozen Battle Royal. Robert, this came down to Dante Martin and MJF. Before we get to the big swerve and the end here, let's talk about the body of the match. We had a Sirloin Beef Sons of Bitches face-off there. We had... you know, some people that looked strong, other people didn't really get a lot of play. What would you see out of this?
It was a weird match because it very much just became, oh, MJF is here and here's everybody else. Literally, that's all they did for the entrances. It was MJF is here and here's everybody else, including his own guy, Wardlow. So I thought that was interesting. But Matt Hardy is what stood out to me here because he's been going on Twitter about how I'm not big money Matt and I'm going to be authentic. And the first thing he does is takes the brass knuckles from the bunny, hits Jay Lethal, and throws him over the ropes. I hope this isn't leading to, like, Jay Lethal goes to the compound and gets dunked in the lake of reincarnation so he can be Black Machismo, but you never know. They're good about setting those things up.
I mean, there's nobody left in HFO right now. Butcher is is hurt.
Yeah.
Mark Quinn and Angelico have been gone. Jack Evans is busy being extorted by Mexican police right now.
Yeah.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards. Save big money
at What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
So I guess
it feels like a leftover storyline from Lucha Underground. Jack Evans being extorted by Mexican police. Like, it just
no, it sounds like a bad HFO storyline, is what it sounds like. My God.
Big Money Matt's going to have to talk to Cesar Duran, see what we can do there. But
and I got people saying, wait, what? So, okay, let me go ahead and explain this to you all as best I can. Jack Evans posted last night, "This will sound like a fake message, but it's not. I'm currently being extorted by two police officers from the Del Valle Police Department in Mexico City. In the last 4 days, I've had to pay around 7,000 pesos, $350 American, and I'm not paying more. So if I get arrested on drug charges in the next little bit, I want to put it out there right now. It was planted by the Del Valle Police Department." He provided an update 7 hours ago and said, "I filed an official complaint and got all my witnesses together. There's a lot of them, and I'm just laying low. Nothing else to share." I would expect nothing less. I love Jack Evans. When I was in Chicago, I saw him walking up the street from a gas station. I wanted to be like, "I mean, you need a ride," but he looked like he absolutely did not need a ride. So there's my Jack Evans story. Hope he's okay legitimately, because that's got to be a scary position to be in.
Yeah.
Also a scary position to be in the ring with Wardlow and Hobbs. Well, that meets just...
Oh, man.
Yeah. Slapping Alex.
That's some really cool stuff. Like, have we had an honest-to-God Haas versus Haas feud in AEW? Like, because they don't have a lot of big boys there. But, like, I want to see, like, if people are saying that Wardlow splitting up from MJF is going to turn Wardlow face for a while. And if you got a face big guy, you need a face, a big heel for him to go up against. Otherwise, it kind of feels weird. So I wouldn't mind just not for like a pay-per-view or anything, just like a few matches on Dynamite where those two guys just beat the snot out of each other. That could be a lot of fun.
Well, then it comes down to MJF and Dante Martin, and Dante turns on Team Taz. And Alex, I saw your tweet and I got to agree. Like, if that is the payoff, like, I feel like it could have been highlighted better. But then I saw somebody reply to you and they had a pretty good idea. Like, I thought it was a really, really good one. And it's like, no, this guy's pissing a lot of people off.
Yeah.
Like eventually he might be the problematic brother that you see in all these movies where his other brother's got to bail him out of all these debts he owes.
Right.
All these people he's pissed off, so he doesn't get a thumb cut off or something.
Right. This is the first real angle that they've run with Dante Martin. And I kind of wanted it to be more cut and dried, you know, easy for us to fall, easy for him to play, not too many weird loose ends. I like the idea that was put out there that he's kind of pissing everybody off. But the thing of it is that when he eliminated Stark, like, Stark's like, I mean, who's like, are you, Starks would have absolutely eliminated Dante Martin to get this thing, and Taz would not have leapt out of his chair saying, "Hey, that you don't screw each other. We're all in Team Taz." The fact that he immediately said Dante Martin screwed Ricky Starks, that's not what I thought. I just thought Dante Martin wants a shot of the diamond ring. And he says Leo and Dante worked together to screw Team Taz, but Leo was eliminated way earlier, wasn't out there at the time. We never saw a backstage promo where Dante and Leo are like, "Yeah, we got him. That was our big swerve." So it feels like that was it. They had one match together, right, as a trio on Dark of Hobbs and Starks and Martin, and that's it. Like the whole angle lasted 2 weeks just for them to like swerve. Now he's back on the thing. So I like the idea of he's swerving everybody because he doesn't know what he's doing right now. He's kind of lost. And the only guy who can come back and right the ship for Dante Martin is Darius Martin. And I don't know when he can come back, but if they're building to that, I'm cool with it. But right now it just feels like I really wanted to see Leo versus Dante. We didn't get to see that. We didn't get to see Leo versus Ricky Starks or any of that stuff. We just right back to square one again. That feels like WWE type stuff to me.
Well, MJF and Dante are the last two in.
No, I want to see that match next week. That's for sure.
So here's the thing, Robert. Ricky comes back in. He's mad. Ricky Starks is upset and he's attacking Dante. MJF is up on the ramp struggling. This had me in stitches. Oh, this so was good. Killing me. He's like, "I don't want to be a good person, but I really love these people, and these people want me back in the ring." So he had a compromise, Robert. He came back to the ring and beat up Dante instead.
Yeah, he stays true to himself, and you have to admire that. It seems like this was perfect. It did seem like they were expecting CM Punk to run out, make the save, and this time get cheered. He still kind of wasn't, but next week, Dante goes up against MJF, and MJF can do some great moves in the ring, but this is more of a character, and I'm wondering what happens to Dante now. Can he win this diamond ring?
Dante's getting screwed over by Ricky Starks.
Yeah, it seems
million percent that's what's happening.
It seems like they just did the, "Hey, let's do the swerve," but I think Leo should have been in the ring for that then, because he did save Leo, but not for long, because Leo was immediately eliminated, and it's just, what do you do after that? Is it just, "Oh, haha, Leo and Dante got them"? But what did they really get? All they did was get Taz to finally send Hook. And I don't know if that's what they wanted.
But my favorite part of all of this was the MJF and Dante after the match. And MJF extends his hand. And Dante's like, "I'm not sure about this." And then Max gets the whole crowd with, "Shake his hand! Shake his hand!" And he does, and he doesn't swerve him. He just walks away. And I thought that was so good. And then he comes back and he like gives Starks a little push, and they go nose to nose. And he's like, "Yeah, I'm just kidding. I'm totally going to beat up the kid." And he beats up. Like, that was just, all of that was not only executed perfectly, but like all of the little tiny details were chef's kiss.
This was good stuff. I really, really liked it. We have a bunch of super chats still about this. Mike Lima says, "During the Battle Royal, Dante never attacked Leo. Curious." Oh, I think that was intentional. I don't think they've really had like a big violent altercation. Brent says, "MJF in Bizarro World was an absolutely an experience to watch. I hope it remains their Bizarro World too." Six Fingers Esquire says, "Goodbye, Daily's Place. Make UBS Arena the new home of AEW because Bizarro crowd humps, jumps, pumps, and never slumps." My God. He says, "It was a perfect opening for 30 minutes. Daily's Place is theirs unless the Cons buy a new sports team in a different city, and then they'll have something there too." Cadillac Carson says, "Love MJF getting cheered in his hometown. Reminds me of heel Bret Hart being celebrated in Canada." That's what I like. And I would love it if they booked like a couple of shows there. Like, they, even if they taped out of order and 1 week, like the next week Rampage was there, that way it looked like 1 week he's getting cheered, 1 week he's getting booed, 1 week he's getting cheered again. Like, it felt like they would jump back and forth in 97. Oh, I'd love that so much. Jane Beard says, Punk should be on commentary during the MJF Dante match and should cost it or cost MJF that to force MJF to fight Punk. The Dynamite Diamond Ring doesn't mean anything, but it means something to MJF.
Yes, it does.
So, Alex, I think that might be able to, it might be able to work.
Yeah, it might. I think that they're, I think this is a thing they're just going to keep with MJF for a number of years until they have the perfect guy to take it off of him. Dante, I feel like this, the story is set that, that something is happening between Dante and Team Taz next week. Maybe that results in somehow, he wins because of the confusion of the attack or whatever. But I love the MJF Diamond Ring thing. Him using that as part of his the video package to come in, like, after all the stuff. The most important thing is the Diamond Ring. I thought that all that was great.
If it wasn't Dante on the other end of the match, I'd say he should absolutely lose it, because if he loses the ring, then he has a reason to actually wrestle every week, get on the rankings, and win the world title. But I don't see Dante winning that Diamond Ring.
Hook will face Fuego on Rampage. Can't wait to see the live reports. I've never been so excited for a live report of Rampage. Oh, boy. Rob Wilkins says, I've officially been doing AEW live coverage for the past year. I appreciate everyone who comes to Fightful Select and Fightful for their news. I get paid to watch wrestling. That's crazy. I'll now go touch some grass, Pawlowski style. Hey, buddy, you had a long night. Smoke some grass, too. Normhausen says, happy Festivus, boys. Made the girlfriend watch wrestling now, so I'm stuck watching the Dong Lord Knows What on next Netflix. What? I'm stuck watching Dong Lord Knows. Oh, I thought that was like a title. I was like, what?
Do you have a Netflix series? That I was
like, where are my royalties? Where is this? Where is it? Chris Rain says, Hook on Rampage. Oh, buddy, he's excited. He is excited. Yoko Littner says, oh my God, it's happening. Hook, most anticipated debut in AEW history.
This is ridiculous.
Oh, I love that he's basically like Sagat from Street Fighter in that render. Like, he's got the tape fists and the kickboxing shorts. Like, he's shredded. Like, it's just, this is not what I expected for Hook, but I love it.
The dream match right now is Hook versus Tony D. That's the interpromotional dream match.
100%.
Like, they are to wrestling what meme stocks were to my stock portfolio, because I made some money off of them. But Hook and Tony D, like, AEW and WWE are getting some business off of these guys.
Yeah, it's funny.
Jam Beard says, have Hook win with the Hook mission. Oh, God. Jay Blood says,
well, he has to win with a heel hook. That's got to be
That's
got to be his finisher, right?
Jay Blood says, Hook and Fuego going to pop a number on Friday. Pedro says, Hook is finally coming. Let's go, Hook Nation. Valab says, finally, we get the answer to the biggest question AEW has had. Hook, you good? Hook gang, Hook Nation, the Hook fan base is thriving. And then Young Boy says, Hook is all that and a bag of chips. Like, these are just getting ridiculous. Send in your Humper Chats at humperchats.com. We greatly appreciate
it. Keep them coming. They're ridiculous. Keep them coming.
Derek Davis says, what are the chances Cole, Fish, and Kyle join, but then split from the Elite to join or to form the Undisputed Elite? They can keep the hand sign. Yeah, they will probably keep the hand sign. I don't think that's a trademark, but yeah. I think Kyle comes over, and in Kenny's absence, they and the Bucks are a thing. And then Kenny comes back and says WTF, and then you've got the Elite versus... Mm-hmm. Versus Undisputed Era or Indisputed Era, Robert.
Whatever it is, I just hope that Kyle is on AEW TV as soon as next week, because really it can happen as soon as next week. And I think that would be a major, you know, grab for the audience to say, hey, they're all here now. I mean, Roddy's still over there, but the original group was the three of them anyway. Yes. And I think you can make it work, and it will mean so much once you actually have the Undisputed Era back together, because that was the lifeblood of NXT.
On Fightful Select right now, guys, please subscribe. I would greatly encourage you to do that. I spoke to people backstage at NXT and WWE about what they think will happen, what they think their best case scenario with Gargano and Kyle O'Reilly is. We broke the news that their contracts were coming up, that Gargano's contract was coming up. We have the news on when Candice LeRae's contract is up right now. And we've been on that contract beat for quite a bit. So subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. We're going to have more good news, more interesting news. I guess good news is in the eye of the beholder. But check it out, FightfulSelect.com. J.K. Schwal says, as a fellow Milwaukee person, Alex is a far braver person than me than stepping outside in all this weather. And Dotrain24 says, Matt Cardona is one of my favorite wrestlers ever because of how hard he worked to build his own brand. I'll be getting my first copy of Fightful Mag after hearing you all will be doing a story on him. OFE. Well, buddy, you might want to check out the back issues at FightfulMag.com because we do a segment called the Wrestlers Tribune where wrestlers write. Our upcoming issue has EC3. We have had Taylor Hendricks write for us. We have had Shaza McKenzie. We've had the former Damian Sandow, but we had Matt Cardona write for us as well, which was fantastic. And I have an interview in the can with Matt Cardona and Chelsea Green, actually, in which he does a cameo on. So there you go. There you go. Jambeard says, since SRS mentioned it, what does Tony D think of the Hook Man, leader of Hooker Nation?
Hey, listen, this kid, I've seen kids like this around Red Hook. Well, they don't impress me. Walking around with your bag of chips, No, I don't want a Dorito. Get out of here with your bag of chips, kid. Yeah, come out of here, round away. I don't want this no more. Come out of here. Go down to the deli. Give me a pastrami on rye. Otherwise, get out of my sight. Okay.
Phil Felice says, I realize they can call themselves Future Shock. I think they'll have something interesting or like a name that they'll be able to do. Derek Davis says, spent 20 minutes trying to send a humper chat. Couldn't get it to work. 10% rule. Be 10% smarter than the equipment you're running, and I'm not, so here's $5. Well, I'm sure there's a way. If you all have any trouble, we'll figure that out. Just let us know, and we'll get it settled. And Anakin said, what does Tony D think about Hook?
Listen, actually, I changed my order. No pastrami on rye. Give me a gabagool, nice and lean, on an Italian roll. You hold the mail. But come back with that, and I'll give you $5. Okay, kid?
And Valley Lasagna says, someone check if hookerchats.com is still available because I'm not going to do it. Yeah, if you're watching this show at a public library, please don't
Google Hooker Chats. Don't put that in your history.
Oh, man. We're still early in this show. We've got a bunch of chats. Dr. Kartoffel Salat says, weeks ago, I said the first major feud for Drunken Cowboy Champ should be Straight Edge CM Punk. I can feel it coming. This should be great. Oh, I think so too. I think there's a lot of holier than thou ways that Punk can go about that and being his smarmy self.
Yeah.
Oh man. James Nepper says, I wonder if, or what's interesting is that a nod from Malakai Black towards Dante. I wonder if he's so lost, he'll join House of Black as full circle. Or I wonder, Alex, if he'll just piss off Malakai Black.
Well, that is a lost detail from a couple of months ago now that doesn't really make it completely. It doesn't feel like it's part of their story, either of them right now, because Malakai's never shown respect to literally anybody else he's ever faced. And that was a weird, like one-off little thing for Dante. And there's nothing else. Like, it feels to me like if they wanted to, they could like bring that back at any time and just show that footage and they could start a whole new story for both of them.
Jurassic Express and Varsity Blondes versus 2.0. Daniel Garcia, LAX. We see a little bit of everything here. Brent Lockman says, Kingston, Santana, and Ortiz reuniting is what happiness looks like. Yeah, I'm just like, I here we are 7 months later. I'm like, why didn't the Pinnacle or why didn't the Inner Circle split?
My thing, because I'm always going to fantasy book the Inner Circle breaking up. My thing is that when Jericho comes back and he sees that Santana or Ortiz have started teaming with Kingston to feud against 2.0 and Danny Garcia, he gets kind of, he gets a little bit, you know, like this, hey, what are we doing here? And it kind of splits everything up. Sammy says, you know what? I'm done with all of you. I'm gonna go my own way. And then we can have Eddie Kingston like and San Antonio Ortiz because they have a history together. And then Hager and Jericho can go off and do whatever they want to do and I don't have to pay attention to it.
Yeah. Like, and that can be the split. That can be the split. And I'm fine.
Good
with
God,
that.
That is some wishful thinking on your part, Alex. And
but I'll always
it's a possibility, Robert. That's the beauty is when we're talking about this on a Wednesday, it's a real possibility.
Yeah.
The way I see it, because it's Jericho, I think this is just a way to keep Jericho's name in the mix while he's on tour, and he'll come back and team with Eddie.
So this match, we saw Griff Garrison get some ups there. We saw Brian Pillman slap a pretty mean drop kick through there. Also, we haven't seen him much on TV lately, but shout out to Marco Stunt, who got a callback for The Voice. Good for that guy.
He is
supremely talented. I'm good with this. Backstage, we've got Eddie Kingston getting attacked. Eddie Kingston and which was it? Both Santana?
I didn't see Santana.
Okay,
it was just Ortiz.
And they get jumped. I thought this is pretty solid stuff. Set me up. I mean, it's to continue a feud. Sorry, I've got the hiccups.
Yeah.
Cool stuff. I mean, to me, it feels like a thing that probably could have been on Rampage.
Yeah. Strikes me as, I'm surprised they didn't immediately announce Long Island Street Fight or New York Street Fight for right. Rampage just to me get too. Something Fair. On TV in Long Island. But I'm sure they have a plan and they'll get there.
Zach Schimmel says, Alex, where's the Santa hat? You said you would wear a festive item for all of December.
Well, Sean usually hates it when I get all crazy. So,
okay. Now, if you like wear masks and stuff, sure. Oh, I love that. That's amazing.
Okay, I'll keep this on for the rest of the night.
Jambeard says, I wonder if Step Host approves of hooker chats. I'm sure she does. She's a disgusting human. Saw an FTR promo backstage. And, you know, I have been very critical of rematches, leaning into rematches and stuff. But I think that AEW has done just enough different with this one because like they didn't book this rematch this past weekend. AAA did. And then the last go around, there was a replacement and there is a legit qualm to the illegal man at Full Gear. It is a real thing. Tully Blanchard talks, FTR talks, man, they're really good at talking.
Yeah.
They're really good at that. I thought this was really good stuff, Robert.
Look, I'm annoyed that they didn't immediately say yes, and it's still 2 out of 3 falls. I'm annoyed that we're not getting a 2 out of 3 falls match here, but we are getting
Four matches on Rampage.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a usual thing we normally get.
Yeah, but maybe we are getting FTR winning the belts because they seem dead set on that first two time. Look, any belt, 24/7 belt, looks better than those AAA tag team titles that they're lugging around. I don't know what these things are, but they grind my gears every time I see them because they're dragging down the look of FTR. FTR look great, and those
they're
belts
horrible belts.
And they, it's the worst.
They're terrible title belts. Mark G says Andrade should send the Midnight Express. I mean, FTR to pose as cops to go after Jack Evans, and their police car plays the FTR theme. And James Barra says Evans clearly crossed Andrade somewhere. Andrade is a cartel boss win. I think after doing that with Escobar, I think you can't just blatantly do it over here.
He's basically doing Black Mask from Batman, which is a cartel boss. Basically.
You know what? Just do it. I like where this is going. Let's just do it.
Anakin said, any word on the audio snafu during Kingston's promo? No, I have asked though. So I'll see. So the Varsity Blondes are on the stage. The lights go out. The lights come back on, and Julia Hart gets misted. And if you didn't know, she let you know. She did exactly what a 19, 20, 21-year-old girl would do if somebody spit anything in their face. There you go.
Malachi, man, he had an interview that came out today with comicbook.com. Where he went into the lore of everything. That guy has a plan for everything. He didn't spit mist at Julia Hart for no reason. Like, there's a specific reason he's targeting her. I don't know what it is yet, but, like, there's stuff like, does he just do the mist because he does the mist? Or is it supposed to be, like, the beginning of a slow poisoning? Like, I don't know what you could do, but like, if we get Julia Hart going from bubbly cheerleader to his dark sorceress of the nether realm, like, I would love to see if he's like slowly corrupting people around him to draw them into the House of Black. I mean, let's go for it. Let's see what happens.
So one of the best storylines the WWE ran and then crapped all over was the Fiend changes you when he wrestles you. Now, Malakai has spit the mist in the eyes of Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes is now leaning into it. Dante Martin, maybe he's just being an asshole because the mist was sprayed in his eyes. I definitely think Julia will be the first to actually join Malakai Black, though.
He has posted a tweet, a picture of it that says the Empress draws out the fool. I mean, this is the same guy who took all the goofy shit that WWE would not explain, and he said Aleister Black was the devil with memory loss. He knew he had done something wrong and he knew he had to pay for it. It's like he, in a few sentences, made that character, oh, that makes sense. So that's why this is happening. He's very, very good about that. He says, or Alicia Ellis says, what if Malakai baptizes the Varsity Blondes into the House of Black, starting with Julia? That's not the worst idea I've ever heard.
He's going to have like pawns that he can send out to like get beat so he can stay clean. Like, there's a lot of interesting stuff that you could do. Those guys would be great. Griff Garrison's a big dude. They could be a lot of interesting things of like them being his like minions.
You could do a lot worse than a mentally corrupted Brian Pillman. I think history has shown us that.
One of my favorite stables when I was a kid was Raven's Flock. Like, they all looked grungy and dirty, and I believed them as henchmen. And then there were a couple that you looked at. There was Perry Saturn. There was Billy Kidman. Mm-hmm. There were some that Stevie Richards, even, you looked and you're like, okay, one day they could step up and they could challenge this guy.
Yeah.
Brent Lockman says, with a stream like that, Julia Hart has a career in horror films if this wrestling thing doesn't work out. I mean, she looks like a Hollywood actress. So, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. And Chris says he loves the idea of Julia being turned by Malakai. And Jarla Zul says, I strongly believe that Black using the mist is to mark the future House of Black members. Do we know or do we remember who all that he sprayed with mist so far?
Cody, twice, I think. Which is interesting. Pac, twice, right? Well, Julia Hart now.
Did he do Dante?
He didn't do Dante in that match. Like, he just beat him. I don't think he actually spit the mist in him. Did he?
I think so.
Well, that's interesting. Like, there's all, I have to go back and watch, but like the major ones for me are Pac, who's now got it in his eyes, is both eyes. So I want him to actually come out the next time we see him with two white contacts, the way that Malakai Black wears them.
C mentions that Malakai is adding more lore. Yes, he did spray Dante. Thank you, Luis.
Yeah.
Fear 94 says, with Malakai Black attacking the Varsity Blondes, is Brody King inbound?
That's what I was going to say. Where is Brody King?
Yep. Let me check out. Is he even booked for Final Battle? I'm covering the show this weekend and I don't have a damn idea.
I want to say yes.
He is. Yes, he is. He's in the 6-man tag match against Eli Isom, Taylor Rust, and Tracy Williams. So, buddy, he's winning that match. That's going to happen.
Malakai has said at some point, I think on his Instagram, maybe a week ago, that there'll be an addition to the House of Black in January. So I'm assuming that's when Brody King's contract allows him to just like step right in there and do that.
I mean, I had people telling me that if their contract is up at the end of the year, they've been paid for the last time already. They get their direct deposit on the first of the month from ROH for the month. Alicia Ellis says, Malakai tweeted a picture of him spitting the mist and said the Empress draws out the fool. Very interesting. Yeah, we did mention that, but thank you for your super chat. We appreciate you, Alicia. And then we had Young Bucks against Chaos, Rocky Romero and Chucky T. So news gatherers were sold a ticket today, that much I tell you, because Trent did an interview with Brandon Walker of Wrestling. Very good interview, too, and he talked about the neck issues he's had. Said he got a fusion. Said he had sleep apnea. Said he had his bones had to grow.
His bones had to grow. You don't understand. There's so much bones in this area that he had sleep apnea. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they shaved off some of the hair too, but His bones grew, Sean.
His bones grew. So I, you know, and I thought we would probably see him out for a while, but this match was really good. I did think it started a little bit slow with Chuck Taylor. There were a couple spots like where he got knocked off the apron and he was kind of like, I'm falling. And then there was a spot where I always hate when somebody walks someone across the ring to whip them into the ropes. Like, I hate that. But then, buddy, Rocky Romero was going 110 miles an hour, and Chuck said, well, I guess I got to match that. Let me do a short pile driver and spike these boys on their heads. This was so much fun. This was fast-paced, and it picked up so well. But we ain't talking about that. Nobody gives a damn about that match. They give a damn that Sue is back. Robert, one of our top interviews of 2020 was Trent's mom, Sue. And with Sue, by the way, is Trent. And Jane Beard says Sue and Okada are in the same stable now. She's a member of Chaos. I'm going to
She'll
get
be
Rocky.
Bringing the balloons for Okada, I'm sure.
I will get Rocky Romero to admit this, and we will do an article on it. Sue and Trent are back. This is great news.
It's fantastic news. I mean, they are from Long Island, so, you know, a nice little drive. You know, good mom taking her son to work after he's been gone for so long, making sure everything goes right. And then she gets a group hug while the Best Friends theme song is played.
So, okay, Alex, share your thoughts on this because I have some great news.
Okay. This was a fantastic TV tag match that that had everything you possibly need. It was so overbooked, which I normally hate in big time like title matches. In a TV match where everybody's just having a lot of fun, it was so much fun with all these like, oh no, he got sprayed in the eyes when he was supposed to spray the other guy, and all this weird overbooked stuff. Was so much fun because it didn't really matter who won and who lost. It was a lot of fun to watch all the stuff that happened on the outside. The big Sue comes back. Trent gets out of the van. Like, the whole thing was just a blast to witness.
Rocky Romero has 237 jobs right now. He pops up on every show. He was doing so much other stuff. And when he started to manage Roppongi 3K, I think a lot of people just assumed he was like 45 years old or something. And wasn't going to wrestle that much anymore. He's having an incredible run across multiple companies. Love watching that guy work. Love talking to him. Love interviewing him because I always learn a ton of stuff. And all this Forbidden Door shit that you see going on, almost none of it happens without Rocky Romero. And I know a lot of people don't understand that or know that. He is the guy behind the scene that's making a lot of that, that's brokering more easy for a lot of companies. By the way, the Young Bucks won this match, as they should. Chris Reigns says Sue bringing out Trent was a great touch. It's always a great touch. It's always going to get a big pop. It's always going to be a big moment. Sawyer says Sue pop. It was incredible. But let's talk about the big news. Tila said, is Sue an official Chaos member now? And I asked Rocky Romero, and he said, yes, she is. She is in Chaos. And Mike Preventure says that someone added her to the Wikipedia page. Good. You're welcome, world. $5, please. This one was for free. I got you all this one for free. Do you know how easy it would have clicked? It would have been to clickbait that for me to DM Rocky and be like, hey, Rocky, is she in? Is she in? And then me to go, new Chaos member added. Shocking new Chaos member added. But I didn't do that because I like all you people. All
this
you
is
people.
Like the real life equivalent of that Join the Dark Side, We Have Cookies meme from like a decade ago. This is that.
And how about this? Sue brought everybody cookies last year in AEW. We ran a story about that too. Nate says, Tony Schiavone gave Sue the Sting treatment. It's Sue! I didn't even hear because I was too busy audibly cheering from my living room couch. Six Fingers Esquire says Butcher is injured and Blade evolved into Trent. So he cut the hair, Robert. What'd you think about that?
So he looks like small Zorro. Like, he looks like Cesaro, just shrunken down. And he's moving great. He looks good. I think this could be a real run for him.
Oh, man, this is cool. I love how many people are showing Sue love, because let me tell you guys, I got to know Sue a little bit. She's legit a wonderful person. She is every bit as wonderful. I believe she was a former teacher as well. So she molded a lot of young minds and the minds of a lot of really demented people like Trent. So we were lucky to have her. Jambeard says Sue returns and Trent got his last name back. I always liked the period where he was Trent with a question mark.
Oh, is he Beretta? Is he Beretta now? Can we call him Beretta?
Maybe he's Trent Beretta. It's like they don't give a damn, right? ShotKid29 says New Japan is leaving money on the table if Sue doesn't drive Okada out in the Tokyo Dome. Man, that's what's going to get women into New Japan. Sue. It'll be Sue. Oh, man. Joseph Snurf says watching Sue get down to the Roppongi Vice music sent me. Oh, one of my favorite parts is where Trent goes, there's the hard cam.
The hard cam is right there.
Oh, amazing. Jamel Ballard says, thank you, Sean, and sent me $5. Oh, that was a hint to subscribe to Fightful Select, but I'll take it anyway. I can get it, my friends. Humperchats.com, or you can donate a super chat. We greatly appreciate it. Nerd Guru says, Sue should make Chaos ugly Christmas sweaters. Dr. Kartoffel Salat says, Sue returned is dope, but holy heck, was Trent ripped. He looked fantastic. Good to see him back. He and Chuck Taylor are two of the most entertaining people on wrestling Twitter when they use it. Like, they're just so funny. I remember one time, I probably told this story on the show, but I'm doing a scrum with them, and they had to get blood work done, and Chuck has a little Band-Aid on. I was like, oh, what's that from? And he said, oh, I do heroin. I've never forgotten that. Mark G says, Cole needs to wash his hair was the low-key comment of the night. I fell off the couch. Did I miss that? What was that from?
Was that Shivani just being a dick?
It's just Shivani who now in canon hates Adam Cole. Like, it's just him just crapping all over Adam Cole.
Yeah, he's
just
a curmudgeon tonight. Adam's trying to find his footing, and he's been very respectful of Britt. Let's Britt do her thing. But eventually, so many people are around in Britt's universe that Adam's going to have to eventually actually do something about that.
That is great. Volob says, I'm so glad that Trent is back. Expected him to be back this week. And then I saw the match card. When I saw the match card, big pop for Sue. Oh, they sold me a ticket in that interview, Robert. I thought he was going to be out. I just figured it's close to where he is, so he's doing it and making some money towards his downside.
I did find it weird when he was doing all the media and didn't walk out with them. Mm-hmm. But I thought, oh, maybe he doesn't want to be around until he can come back. And I guess he didn't because he showed up.
Austin says, I need a best friends title push with Trent back. Again, I would love to see Johnny Gargano join that with the history he has with several other members. And if you don't know, AEW will tell you, and it will be well worth it. Somebody says they think that Hook's entrance music is by Action Bronson.
That would be amazing. That's awesome.
ShotKid29 says, fingers crossed, Sue drops off best friend's newest friend, Johnny and Candace, next year. Well, won't be Candace anytime soon. Obviously, she's having her child, but it'll be a little bit before
Sue,
her.
Sue, I'm sure, makes a great babysitter.
There you go. James Keeper said that would actually be very funny.
That would be awesome if it was like they kiss the baby, hand it over to Sue. Sue would like
she
like,
puts it in the car seat.
Yep, exactly.
In the back
and drives away. So and the Candace.
And like they zoom in on Johnny and Candace, and they're like they should be walking to the ring, but they're working on that goddamn car seat because they're never that easy. And they're like, hold on, we'll be there in a minute. And Trent's getting his ass whipped in the ring, and they're like, it's safety. It's for safety.
For safety.
Oh my God. James Keeper said, Sean showing everyone his strong pin with that magic. Breaking news right there. FTF. Thanks, brother. I appreciate you. Brent Lockman says, speculation. God's Hate, Brody King's band, changed their schedule. He's now available on January 8th, same night as Battle of the Belts. Seems like an awfully interesting coincidence, guys.
That sounds good to me.
Well, does Cody versus Sammy for Christmas sound good to you? Because somebody told me months ago, when the Sammy Miro feud was going on, that they thought that Cody was going to win the title from Sammy. Now, this wasn't a report. They are like, I think Cody's going to win it from Sammy. Well, here comes Cody, and he challenges. Alicia Ellis says Andrade's tweet may suggest he's looking to challenge Sammy for the title or Cody if Sammy loses. Well, Cody ain't getting cheered over Sammy Guevara.
No.
Alex.
No, prove that tonight. Like he when he came out, interrupted the whole thing, and the crowd went granted nice. He's like, hey. And he still got the burn marks on his arm. Mm-hmm. Like that was really cool just to remind you of what a hardcore son of a bitch he is. But like he goes from one good guy to another. Hi. Just want to let you know. On Christmas, Tony Khan gave me the match. See you there. And he about to walk past him, realizes that's the heel exit, and then he backtracks and walks out. Oh gosh, he's playing all of us like in little ways, and I do enjoy it now.
He has fully leaned into it. It is fantastic. Cody Rhodes booking himself in, you know, in storyline because he's still an EVP to win a title in Greensboro, North Carolina. Feels like the most Cody Rhodes thing Cody Rhodes could possibly do. Oh, except it's on Christmas, and Cody will play it off as, this is for the kids. This is what everybody wants to see. Who doesn't want to see Cody as champion on Christmas? This is for the kids.
Well, Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky are not happy about it, and I'm not happy that they say that Tan Lambert's coming back.
No, I'm not. Man, Page proved in like 15 seconds that he doesn't need anybody to talk for him ever.
Exactly.
And then said, Dan Lambert's coming back. And I'm like, why? For what reason? Possibly. It better be to like talk for somebody else who can't talk. Like there's got to be people out there who need a mic man, but it ain't Ethan Page and it ain't Scorpio Sky.
I'd like to see him try to recruit Dante too. Honestly, like if it doesn't lead to any extended promos, I just like Dante being the belle of the ball. And I loved Sky and Ethan Page getting some mic time here and saying, you know, maybe if we were an EVP or we kissed Tony's ass, we would get title shots. But I had to work for mine. I didn't get some open challenge bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said Brian Cage needs Dan Lambert. You know what? That ain't the worst idea I've ever heard. I mean,
it seems like he might fit in perfectly with that kind of set too. Because a guy who says, "All you millennials are so scrawny, you couldn't actually fight," then you bring out a dude who looks like Brian Cage. Like that
exactly.
Actually kind of works for them. And Brian Cage should get booed.
Like
he's a natural heel. You have this guy like talking for him. It would get a lot of heat.
Mm-hmm. Bebop says, "From one good guy to another good guy. Cody knows it's great. Greetings from the UK." Love listening to you guys. And then he teased what tunnel he was going down.
Yeah, I love that. But I also thought you were funny with your December 25th thing. Like him, if he won on Christmas, he could cut a promo. I was like, you know, I met a little boy today, and he said the one thing I asked Santa for was that you became TNT champion, Cody Rhodes. So I said, little Billy, I'm going to do it for you. Like he could honestly cut that promo, make us hate him even more.
AK Schwal says, Cody's out here playing chess. While we are all playing checkers, he knows exactly what he's doing. I'm completely convinced he is self-aware.
Yeah.
He gets it. He knows. He understands. Jambeard says, shout out to Jesse the Buckeye. Keep up the fight and continue to be strong. All of your fans are with you. Not just that, Jesse. Your friends are with you. We love you. We hope that you're home soon and you're doing better. It always makes me happy to see people from AEW and any wrestling company. I saw AJ Francis, Top Dollar, showing her a lot of love because that makes her feel really good because a lot of people were very shitty to her in general, even before this, just because she liked wrestling. So please go show our friend Jesse the Buckeye some love. It really helps lift her spirits, and she's had a rough go of it lately. Well, Ruby Soho got attacked. Well, she attacked, I guess. She laid down the attack, and then Nyla Rose popped up and said, "Surprise, bitch!"
I don't know how it could have been a surprise. Like, I love these backstage segments where Nyla had to be standing right there, but I just love the surprise, bitch. It's just so good.
Oh, she's so funny. She is so funny. I love it. And this was, you know, this drags the Dark Order duo into it, Anna and Ty. But Chris says, first time super chatter here. One of my favorite moments from the show was Nyla's surprise bitch line. It came out of nowhere. Keep up the great work. This is okay. It's setting up the next match. It ain't more special than any beatdown we've ever seen. But then we got the Jade Cargill promo and Thunder Rosa. Thunder Rosa was super over here earlier in the night, from what I heard. Big shocker there. Thunder Rosa gets great reactions. There's an element of realness that just exudes from her. And I think in a different way, Jade Cargill exudes that realness too. Like, you believe that Jade Cargill believes every single thing that she says.
Yep.
And she's not afraid of anybody, even Thunder Rosa, who most human beings should probably be afraid of, Robert. But Jade Cargill is not scared of Thunder Rosa.
She has no reason to be right now.
Exactly. And that's what I love. I love two really good characters, protected characters, that want to fight each other. And they want to beat each other's ass. I'm ready for this. And I want to see what kind of match they can conjure up.
And this is the money match of the tournament, because I think everybody knows Ruby is going to the finals. Nyla's already won the women's world title. I don't think she needs this. Ruby's going to the finals. Who's she going to fight? They have said that bitch show so much that it was cool, got a little old, and came back around. Now yeah. I want to see if it's a red herring to actually make you think, oh, it's obviously Jade, and then Thunder Rosa pulls it out. But we'll see how it goes.
Also, I want to send some love to Jade. She got off Twitter because people are...
People are
terrible.
Shitty and
we're assholes. Yeah.
So I want to send some love to Jade Cargill. Hope she's doing all right and doing good.
I want to say that her character, she is playing perfectly. Like we the other thing about it is that there are times where you're like, well, she's a very new wrestler, so she's kind of green. She hasn't had that many matches. She's also a new performer. Like, she didn't come out of acting to do this. Like, she's playing this character perfectly. And I mean, like, a lot of people would be like a little bit of uneasy out there. She's doing it great.
To the point where people have been sold a ticket on it, and they think that's how she just is.
Yes.
And they think that she is really like that. She plays it so well. Somebody said she reactivated her Twitter account. Well, good, because I think she's a wonderful part of Twitter. I think she's got an important voice that people should hear, to be quite honest with you. Zach says Thunder Rosa didn't stop by tonight unless she's lurking. She popped up on the Listen Your Boy today. She was watching over there. Also announced Deeb Sheeta 3. R26 says, let's freaking go. Brett Lockman says, Sheeta Deeb, a well-built story in the women's division, resulting in a match. I very much want to see more of this AEW. So what I would like, because they didn't really mention it the last couple of weeks, I would like Excalibur to say, things have been so heated between these two, they were not brought into town for the last two shows.
Yeah.
They had to sign a contract. Tony Khan did not feel comfortable putting them on the same show because he knew that things would get heated. Like, give us a reason why they haven't popped up that much over the past couple weeks, but I'm glad that this match is happening. Jambeard says Ruby beating Jade in the finals would be one of the better times to give Jade her first loss. It would also play out similarly to Cody versus Archer final. Well, you know what? Also, while we're speaking about Jade Cargill, if you want to look exactly like Jade Cargill, I'm pretty sure all you got to do is have Athletic Greens at athleticgreens.com/Fightful. That wonderful AG1. I have added that to my diet. I switched off of my regular multivitamin. It wasn't digesting well. It upset my stomach. So I switched to AG1, and that helped me an awful lot. One scoop of AG1 has 75 vitamins, minerals, whole food sourced ingredients, including that multivitamin. It's got a multi-mineral. It's got a probiotic, a green superfood blend, and more in one convenient daily serving. It's got a special blend of high-quality, bioavailable ingredients in a scoop of AG1, and it helps fill those nutritional gaps in your diet. Maybe you're not getting enough greens. Maybe you don't have enough energy or focus. Maybe you don't have the right digestion or gut health. AG1 helps you out. It eliminates the need to take multivitamin pills. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you an immune supporting. It might support the moon. Who knows? Your moon? I don't want to go and talk about what your moon's doing, but Athletic Greens isn't going to make it feel any worse, especially if it helps that digestion. But you get that free one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase when you visit athleticgreens.com/fightful today. It's good stuff.
You'll feel like going out for a walk, right, Alex?
You will.
Yeah. Yep.
Get digestive enzymes, mushroom complex. They got a superfood complex, antioxidants, adaptogens, dairy-free probiotics. And not only that, if you watch AEW Dark, if you've watched AEW for any extended period of time, a couple of weeks ago, Baron Black, who's running Terminus, jumped in my mentions about it, told me how much he liked athleticgreens.com/fightful. So you know what? I think if it's good enough for him, it's probably good enough for you. I think so. You could look just like Baron Black. You could look just like Baron Black. Oh my gosh, Jamie Hayter and Riho, let me tell you. So this match, it was all right. But that finish, that crucifix off the top rope. I said, what's she doing? And maybe I've seen her do this before, Riho. But then, you know, Jamie Hayter is a sirloin beef sons of bitch. Like, there aren't many dudes that I would expect her to shoulder block and not knock down. And when she hit that mat, oh boy, did she slap that mat. And Riho got the win. They have rebuilt Riho in a few weeks. I don't ever really like the champion getting pinned, but they have effectively rebuilt Riho. And Britt Baker's going to whip her ass. She sure did after this match. But Brent Lockman says, Hayter or Riho, who hated their neck more after this incredible match? Robert, what do you think?
I got to think Hayter probably hit her neck a little bit more. It was a great finish. Really cool to see. And it's how you use the size disadvantage to one's advantage. And a lot of people aren't big on Riho, but at least this makes sense. At least she's, you know, noteworthy in the brand because she was the first champion. And it's an easy win for Baker. I don't think anybody's going to really feel like they can beat Britt Baker until Thunder Rosa gets back in there with her. We'll see if anybody comes close.
Eloquent says, thought the crowd slept on Jamie Riho. The match ruled, regardless of what anyone says about her size or believability, Riho's a great wrestler and a perfect challenger for the real fourth pillar. Well, I mean, I think there are times I've watched Riho's work and her size, like I maybe didn't believe what she was doing. Her work with Jamie Hayter, whether it be either one of their doings or maybe the chemistry, Alex, it felt like it was conveyed a lot more effectively than a lot of other matches.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I mean, Sasha Banks is not very large. She's my favorite women's wrestler ever. One in my top five is Asuka, so it's not like a thing I have against Japanese women wrestlers. I've never been able to get into Riho. I don't know if it's like the lacy cuffs or the tutu, but the gear doesn't work for me at all. It takes it away from me for some reason.
Sure.
Like, I'm just watching, I'm like, I don't understand why you would wrestle in that. It doesn't feel like it actually... It's not streamlined or helps at all. It's a weird choice.
Also, I mean, Sasha Banks is like 4 inches taller than
Riho. Right, but she's also tiny. She's a very small.
Is.
But the whole thing is that, I don't know, just Jamie Hayter could kick my ass. Like, she is built. And it just feels like there's too much selling of Rio's offense. I would love to see a match where Riho tries to do all of her stuff to somebody like Jamie, and it doesn't work.
Yeah, like they just bounce out, off of her.
And then figure out somewhere else to do. I thought the finish was great. The crucifix bomb leading to that was a sliding knee. I thought that would have actually worked. But a lot of stuff earlier in the match felt like it just didn't click for me. But I do honestly love the story that they're building with Riho and Britt being... Britt's never been able to beat Riho.
Yeah.
Like, so... That is an interesting, which is why I think you do the Riho pinned Britt in a non-title match, because it adds to Britt being honestly wondering if she can win this match. I think that works.
There are some great stories in great wrestlers having one certain wrestler that's a kryptonite. Raven and Tommy Dreamer, Shelton Benjamin and Triple H. Like, Shelton Benjamin beat Triple H a whole bunch of times. Eddie and Ray. There are some really, really great stories to tell there in that I can't beat you, or I can't beat you on this stage. The Rock and Steve Austin at WrestleMania, where The Rock, it's like, why would they do it a third time? Because The Rock had to. The Rock had to be able to continue.
That's right.
R26 says, did you know that the Islanders suck? Just wanted you to know in case AEW didn't make it clear. Max Caster also brought it up, Robert.
I haven't heard that all night. I can't believe the Islanders are that bad.
If I were Max Caster and I would have heard all those in the first thing, I would have switched up my line after that. Pablo says, I was ready to come talk about how great Jamie Hayter was tonight and how she'll be one of 2022's best standouts. But everyone shut up. They're sending Hook Everyone stay calm. Love it. Well, I also love Brian Danielson and John Silver. Just good, effective work. Like what? Good, sound, fundamental work. Brian Danielson not working as an underdog is one of the best moves. Like, and you know what? When he worked as an underdog, he did really great, and some really good stories were told. But every single thing he does in that ring, I buy. I look forward to him grabbing somebody by the arms and just stomping their face out, even in their hometown. And at the same time, I want to see that hometown person, Robert, get some offense on them. We had Reignsy saying from an enhancement talent the first couple of shows to main eventing Dynamite in a competitive match against Brian Danielson. John Silver's come so far. Can't wait to see him win his first title in the company, and can't wait for Deeb versus Shida. How'd you feel about this match, Robert?
This match was really good, and there's so much in the story of Brian saying, when I was 30, I was winning world championships, and you're out here being a joke. And Brian can see a lot of what he hates in what he was made to be in John Silver, because WWE tried to make him a joke. He was supposed to be the funny character. Oh, you're a vegan. Nobody gets that. Oh, you're the yes guy. You're the no guy. And the cream always rises. And he sees that in John Silver and wants to pull it out because selfishly he likes the challenge. And he actually really sold for Silver in this match with the heel hook. And he seemed like he was genuinely struggling for one of the first times since he came to the company. And I loved watching him beat another Dark Order member in their hometown because he's finally awake. I can't believe Daniel Bryan was doing all these great matches, and he says, I was sleepwalking. And he's awake now, and it feels like it means so much more. There is no formula. There is just, this is what I want to do today.
Guys, we are heading down the home stretch of this show. Please leave us a thumbs up. Please donate a super chat or a humper chat. You can donate the latter at humperchats.com. Get your question or statement read on the air. The benefit of humper chats is maybe you don't watch our show live, because quite frankly, most of you don't. I would say about 95, 96% of you don't watch us live. You can leave them before the show. If it's like 2, 3, 4 p.m. before an AEW show, you can leave it over there, have your question read on the air, and then hear it the next day or 2 days later, whenever the hell you listen. Daniel R. says, I liked Daniel Bryan. I'm in love with Brian Danielson. He's great. Alex, the contrast here. How you feeling?
Man, Daniel, I love Daniel Bryan's run as a heel, the vegan heel with the wooden belt. Like, I thought he was great in that. He cut some amazing promos, did some really good work. But ultimately, he was really hiding behind Eric Rowan. Like, that was kind of the thing. He had that guy there to protect him or whatever. This Brian Danielson isn't hiding behind anybody. And he is what I've always loved is the heel who could back it up. Like, you hate him because he's so good, not because he won't wrestle in your hometown. Like, you're not good enough for me to wrestle here. Oh, boo. You hate him because he goes in the rings with guys that you like and he kicks the snot out of them. That's the kind of heel I really love. And Brian Danielson is quickly becoming my favorite. Like, and the thing about it is that I love is, honestly, Paige could beat him next week. And Danielson could give him a handshake and said, all I was doing this last couple of weeks was trying to motivate you to be your best. And damn it, you are the real deal. And then he could sneak right back into being one of our favorite guys. Like, he could honestly do that. And this last month could have been just kind of a little psychological experiment he was doing.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Or he could go on and become the biggest heel in the company. Because I honestly believe he's got either thing available to him because he's so damn good.
I don't know, man. The Dark Order would be pretty pissed at Hangman.
Sure they would. Sure they would.
You know, Brian, you're an all right guy. You shook my hand. All right, moving on.
Well, if it was an endorsement of the entire group,
yeah,
I could see that, because I do feel like those people would, I think the people in the Dark Order would respect Brian for him being what he is. And I mean, yeah, I just think that would work really well. Also, shout out to Brian last week referencing the Wang Man on Twitter. Nerd Guru says, for lack of a better phrase, this is Brian Danielson. Is better than you and you know it, then proceeds to kick your head in. And I also want Brian to win. It's like him doing that. It just, he doesn't tell you with words. He tells you with facial expressions, like him smirking all the time as he's about to wrestle is like his subtle way of being like, I'm not worried about you or what you're going to do. Oh, it's really, really well. Alicia Ellis says, LOL, Hook is debuting before Fear. Joseph Snark says, I've got to go back and see if Riho and Jamie Hayter ever face each other in Stardom. I'm really bad with remembering on recall, but I'm gonna look it up right now for you guys. How about that? They have been in the ring numerous times together. Never
they have, they have the chemistry, they do.
Yeah, they teamed together, they wrestled against each other like 4 times in Stardom in tag matches, and they have had 2 tag matches before tonight. So there you go. Well, guys, thank you all so much. I greatly appreciate it. Again, humperchats.com, fightfulselect.com. We're trying to push those subscriptions back up at the beginning of each month. Patreon is weird and sometimes doesn't auto renew and all that stuff. Alex is over there for Sour Graps. But tell the people more about what you do, Alex.
On Mondays, right after the Sean Ross Sapp and Denise Salcedo show, I go live on Fightful Select to give a different perspective on the night's happenings on Raw. And then sometime during Saturday, I'll get around to talking about SmackDown, which has just become a tire fire. But, you know, well, hopefully it gets better. The whole point of Sour Graps is I want it to be better. I want it to be Sweet Graps all the time. I went back and rewatched the episode where the NXT invasion happened because the plane was stuck in Saudi Arabia. And I was just giddy like a schoolgirl through the whole thing. So it's possible. I can, like, let's say, once in a million years types of episodes of SmackDown. It's possible. I promise. Follow me at Alex Sour Graps on the Twitter and come watch us every Tuesday where we have to do everything in under 2 hours or Sean will fire me on the NXT after.
Buddy, you tested it this week.
30 seconds to spare.
I had like 24 seconds to spare with the delay when you hit the end broadcast button.
That's going to get me one of these days.
Guys, quite frankly, we have to retweet Alex's live stream of this show because StreamYard's being weird and it's not streaming from my Twitter or Fightful's Twitter. So, and Alex, I'm sure you've seen that notice pop up as
it
well.
It is weird, yeah.
But like now it won't do it on mine. So now we're retweeting Alex's. So if I know there are actually thousands of you that watch on Twitter, like more than what you would expect. So we apologize for that. Just for those of you who reached out, we have reached out to StreamYard. They say it's a Twitter issue and they're trying to fix it. But we are on podcast platforms everywhere. We are live on YouTube.com/Fightful. And if you ever say, oh no, how can I possibly remember any of this? FightfulPods.com has everything. Robert, what do you got going on?
I'm here every single day writing up stories on Fightful.com. If you need more Kate Hensler, I just did the WrestleZone hot tag with her, John Alba, Connor Casey, and Dominic D'Angelo. That'll be out on Thursday at WrestleZone.com. And yeah, follow me everywhere at Dude Felice, and that's all you get from me.
Sounds like a terrible cast of humans. I don't feel left out, not really. Anyway, next time we'll see. We'll be here is Friday. The Distraction is here tomorrow. We got a bunch of shows this weekend, guys. A big Fightful Fight Night. Let me run down this card real quick for you because, buddy, I'll be reviewing a 4-hour, I don't know how anybody's going to be motivated, ROH show with a 6-man tag that shouldn't be on pay-per-view while the fight the Fight Fellas are reviewing Amanda Nunes, the greatest women's fighter of all time, defending her title, and then Oliveira versus Poirier. That's going to be a hell of a fight. Thank you guys so much. November was our biggest month ever across the board. YouTube, audio, select, web, all that stuff. We appreciate all of you. Until next time, we're out.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.